Welcome back, everybody, to another edition of the Crossing Routes podcast, fueled by FTN Fantasy. My name is Herms. I'm joined, as always, by my good friend Tyler O. And today, we've got some NFL news to talk about. This is probably the first time since we launched this podcast that there's been enough stuff in the news cycle that we can dedicate an entire episode to it. So everything that's been going on lately, we will be discussing it. If it came up in the news, it's coming up on the pod today. And at the very end, I have a bonus player take that I've been kicking around for a while that I just really want to share with everybody. So that's what we have in store. Before we get into the news cycle of it all, Tyler, how you doing?
Thrilled, man. Thrilled. If you've been following along, my home league has finally found its draft date. It will be August 17th. That was the last piece hanging in the fold.
Yes.
So it's real now. We got the draft date on Sleeper. It's always good to see the official draft date. You get the countdown with how many days, hours, minutes, seconds until it's time to draft. So thrilled, man. Just kicking away in the content mines. Been churning out shorts. Spending a lot more time on the ranks, the projections, what have you. Things are close. I'm ready for the football to be here. And then, correct me if I'm wrong, do we have any football in – we don't have any football in July, but August, it's like football's a go. So it's like, well, yeah. I think we're halfway through July, and then August starts, and we start to see some football. I don't know if it's meaningful football, but we'll be getting football, man. So life is good.
Absolutely, dude. I think, the Hall of Fame game usually happens that first week or whatever it is, like pretty close. We're – absolutely almost there. Training camp is going to be underway really soon. The news cycle is going to start picking up a lot. There's going to be a ton to pay attention to. And, you know, the news cycle already kind of underway right now, which is the topic of today's episode. First, we will start with news about Browns rookie running back Quinshon Judkins, who was arrested on Saturday with misdemeanor domestic violence charges. Obviously, crime is bad. We do not endorse crime. We are not going to spend too much time talking about the crime because it's bad, and that's the only opinion we need to have on that part of it. The thing we do need to talk about is the fantasy football part, because that is our job. Assuming Quinshon Judkins is suspended for any amount of time, let's just say that he is. The backfield does have some pretty interesting running backs to play. We do have the incumbent Jerome Ford. We've seen him at times in this offense. He's been reasonably effective over the years, but nothing crazy superstar levels. And then the other rookie, Dylan Sampson, out of Tennessee. I want to say he was like a fourth-round pick, something like that. Like, pretty high capital. So, yeah, it's going to be one of those two guys probably going to be the big beneficiary of a potential suspension for Judkins. But if you were to pick and just say, early in the season, we're not going to have 6 weeks of this guy. Are you taking Ford? Are you taking Sampson? Are you avoiding this backfield entirely? Or, I don't know. Let me know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not avoiding it because the price is pretty great right now. Like, I definitely would be, and I am, trying to acquire both because they're going in the last couple rounds, I should say. So you don't really have to invest anything to get either one of these guys on your team. I don't necessarily think either one is going to have a bell cow or lead role. I definitely see this being like a 50-50 or a bit of a committee split. Jerome Ford is a fine back. I would even venture to say in moments he's been a good back. But it's been made abundantly clear that the Browns don't want him to be the only guy. They don't want to lean on Jerome Ford. And again, that was made clear when they drafted two running backs, one in Judkins and then one in Dylan Sampson in the fourth. Now, I was a big Sampson fan. I was a little bummed to see him fall to day three. Really thought he had the ability and absolutely the production at Tennessee to be a day two pick, but there's a lot of talent in the draft. I totally get it. Now, if given an opportunity or given a choice who I'm going to take, like I would probably go with kind of the unknown commodity in Dylan Sampson. I think he's a bit more electric. I think he's got more of that home run ability. I'm not fairly certain he's like going to be a lead back where he's going to touch the ball 20 times. But certainly a lot more interested in Dylan Sampson now in redraft, as prior to this, it was really tough to be interested in either Jerome Ford or Dylan Sampson in redraft, as it was all the Judkins show. So, you know, I definitely see myself going both ways, taking a little bit of both, especially in those best ball leagues, kind of waiting how see things kind of unfold as we move forward here. But if having to pick one, Dylan Sampson, he's a guy, I believe I had him ranked towards my running back 6 in the class prior to the draft. I obviously moved him down since then because of the day 3, the round 4 situation, and just landing at, frankly, a pretty bad offense where now he's behind, you know, a couple players, namely Judkins. But I believe in the talent of Samson. I really do. People have kind of forgotten, and I totally understand why. He's a little bit buried. He was a day 3 pick. But the dude's great. If you're not familiar with his game, just go watch some highlights. Obviously, it's not the best way to get a full opinion, but just watch some highlights of the guy, man. He was absolutely killing it in college. I think that's going to translate well. He's not a player that's going to need 20 touches a game to be good, but if he can find a way to carve out, yeah, even 12 to 15 touches a game, I could easily see him being, you know, like kind of like flex relevant or somewhat relevant, regardless of how bad the Browns offense might be operating. So just kind of the unknown, the better chance of upside, because we definitely know Jerome Ford is. I think I would lean towards Samson, although I could see myself kind of sprinkling in both as we move forward here, especially at the price.
Well, it makes sense for sure, you know, and I know, you know, helmet scouting, quote unquote, isn't the most effective thing to do sometimes, but just thinking about what the Tennessee offense, the University of Tennessee offense, you know, sort of does. A lot of people really liked Jalen Wright when he was coming out of school there. And honestly, I thought Dylan Sampson was a little bit better of a running back. Fair. So just, fair, you know, to kind of give people an idea, you know, the kind of player that we're talking about. Because again, we're not going to do a full scouting report on Sampson on this podcast. Would be really fun, but that would probably take its own episode. But yeah, definitely an exciting name, an interesting guy. And clearly they, you know, prioritize him pretty highly, at least. Fourth round's not nothing. It's not as high as, you know, draft capital we'd like to see for running backs and stuff, but it's certainly not bad. We will have to see how that goes, though. Obviously, legal stuff, wait for it to unfold. The NFL will, you know, spring into action and do whatever in due time. But moving on to much happier news, the second thing we have to discuss is Garrett Wilson got a massive contract extension. I believe he is now going to be making $32.5 million annually guaranteed, dude. Like, whoa.
Good for him.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how much it really does for fantasy, but anytime somebody, you know, inks a 4-year, $130 million contract extension with $90 million in guaranteed, it's kind of a big deal. So, I mean, it's pretty, you know, it's pretty sizable. And also, per Adam Schefter, kind of a fun note, the first time in NFL history that a receiver has received an average over $31 million after playing only 3 seasons. So, like, they believe he's had to catch passes from, I think it's 7 different quarterbacks already. Obviously, we would love for his circumstances to improve, but they believe in him. You don't just get handed that amount of money unless you are really, really good at the thing that you do. So does this change anything for Garrett Wilson for you? I guess more so from like a dynasty perspective. Now that we know he's going to be locked into New York long term, does that make you feel any better or worse about him, or basically just the same?
I would say basically the same. I think it's really important to note, like, the quarterback play has been pretty poor for him. His targets per season, rookie season, 147. Followed that up with 168 and then 154 targets last year. I mean, the stats don't necessarily back it up, and I think it's, you know, kind of fair. He finally got a top 12 finish last season. The 2 seasons before that were 32 and 19, just around that. Depends what you use. That's half PPR. But it's very clear that it's not him, right? And the Jets know that, and they made that even more obvious when they decided to give him this kind of money.
Yeah.
And while I'm not necessarily sure that Fields is the long-term future here, he's proven that he can get it done. He's proven that he can be an elite wide receiver. If you watch him play, man, he just makes some, like, circus contested catches. Like, he does some things that not many wide receivers in the NFL can do. I think it's very well deserved. I say it doesn't really change anything for me because I wouldn't be drafting or acquiring Garrett Wilson with the hope that he was going to go anywhere. I mean, frankly, if you were to ask me before this, do you think G. Will is going to be on the Jets for a while? I'd say, yeah. I mean, they'd be wild to let him go. He's been one of the few consistent pieces of that team for over the last 3 years. But it doesn't, I mean, the Jets have been rough. Does it get worse going forward? I don't know. I'd like to think it gets better because it's been pretty damn bad to be a Jets fan. And at least from the, you know, watching who's been under center for the last couple of years, when Fields is coming in and offering your team stability at the position, from a guy who's really never held a job down at all, you know, for multiple seasons, And it does make you question things, but they clearly understand that Garrett Wilson's the future there. I do think things will get better. The Jets, with, you know, whether it's going to be Fields and he kind of sorts it out. I don't think Fields is a bad quarterback. I think he's certainly a top 32 quarterback, and I think he certainly deserves to be a starter for a while. Sure, maybe not the most dynamic passer out there, but he does win in other ways, and I think he's good enough. I think if you put him in a situation, now this might be a little bit of a hot take and going off the record, you know, going off the wheels here, but, you know, I think he's not necessarily better than Jalen Hurts, but I think if you put Fields in a position with the Eagles' offensive line, with the Eagles' weapons, no one would be questioning if Fields can start in the NFL, right? I think he is a damn good quarterback. He's not as good as Hurts, so don't, like, come at me and be like, oh, yeah, Tyler said Fields is as good as Hurts. He's not, but I do think he would be performing at a very high level had he been, you know, have good coaching, good front office, like elite offensive line, good wide receivers, good running backs. I think he would do well. He's just been in some pretty piss-poor situations. So for me, this is more of a getting back to the G Will thing. I like G Will. Happy to see it happen. Kind of always been hit or miss up from the fantasy side of things, just considering the situation. But talent is forever, and situations change. So glad to see him get that money. Always happy to see when players are getting paid like that. Well deserved, even though the stats don't necessarily back it up. But I think if you watch him play, he did with the most with what he was given. So shout out G Will.
Absolutely. And fantasy managers out there, if you want to draft Garrett Wilson this year, according to our ADP on FTNFantasy.com, he is the wide receiver 15, pick 306. I think it's a pretty good deal. Definitely a pretty fun guy to invest in. And also Justin Fields himself. If you also believe in the potential upside that he could be having, quarterback 18, I think is what I saw when I was. Yeah, pretty late pick. The 11-12 on average. Very last pick of the 11th round to get a guy like Fields on your team in 2025. But we have some more news to talk about. We got to take a quick break first. So on the other side, we will get into the other things. Don't go anywhere. And we are back. It is the Crossing Routes podcast. It is still Herms. It is still Tyler O. And we are still talking about some NFL news. The third sort of big thing that happened here recently was a report out of San Francisco that wide receiver Juwan Jennings either wants a new contract or the heck up out of the 49ers. That's it. That's really, you know, and this is a guy that we've talked about a little bit on this podcast. His name has come up a few times. Kind of underrated. I think he did really well stepping up in relief of, you know, the injured Brandon Ayuk last season, really having to take on this role in the 49ers offense. You know, there's still the threat of, you know, Ricky Pearsall potentially, you know, emerging and cutting into the potential role there. But if Jennings isn't on the team, then we don't really have to worry about that. So just sort of getting a vibe of the situation, how are you feeling about Juwan Jennings now? Does knowing this change how you feel about him? I mean, for context, listeners, he is currently being drafted as the wide receiver 52, pick 1106 in our ADP. So it's not like we're talking about a player with, you know, a ton of perceived fantasy value right now, but definitely somebody who could be pretty good and is worth taking a late round stab at if you like him.
Yeah, I think it's fine where he goes. He definitely had some games. I like him more than I like Pearsall, especially at Price. I'll go as far as to say that. I mean, he had multiple games last season where he was getting double digit targets. That says a lot to me when you're out there getting double-digit targets. It's not something just your average wide receiver can do. We talk a lot of times, like, you know, as a running back, if there's some injuries in front of you, it's really easy to get volume. You don't always have to earn that. Not saying running backs don't earn their snaps, but sometimes you can be given touches as a running back. That's just how that works. But when you are a wide receiver or tight end, you earn those targets, right? I truly believe that you earn targets. You have to get open. Your quarterback has to trust you. Quarterback in a lot of ways is putting his reputation on the line throwing you the football because it affects him directly. So for me, I don't necessarily like the thing is I think he signed his extension. It was like a 2-year, I want to say like $15 million extension, just like in May of 2024. So like just barely like a year ago. So like for him to already kind of like be upset about it, I mean, some wide receivers are a little bit overpaid. So I kind of get where he's coming from in terms of how good he is, but it doesn't change anything for me, but it does make me think, Herms, I don't know if you thought about this, is like, you know, is there something that, you know, we're not seeing? Is there something there that like all of a sudden he feels more valuable. Is, you know, something not going well with Ayuk? You know, I've my first kind of inclination was just kind of, you know, why now? Like, what? Why we're full steam ahead? The season's, you know, by what, 6 weeks away? I don't know. Like, preseason's coming right around the corner, and like now there seems to be a time. This could be agent driven, and Jennings doesn't care, but. You know, for the sake of the show, we'll talk right now. It seems like maybe Jennings wants a new contract. What is happening now that makes me think that Jennings wants more money? And that was my first inclination. Was kind of like, he got paid about a year ago. Like, what's going on in the locker room? What's going on in, like, with the 49ers for the timing of right now? It just seems like an odd time to be bringing up a contract if you're not a rookie.
No, it's definitely a little bit bizarre. And, you know, I think the only possible theory that I could have in terms of why he would possibly be asking for this now. I mentioned this a lot in articles that I write for the website too. So just to, you know, remind people, I'm not a doctor. So when I talk about this stuff, just keep in mind, really, I am not a doctor. But Brandon Ayuk tore his ACL and MCL last year. I mean, these multi-ligament things are definitely a lot more tricky to come back from than just like a clean single ACL, you know, done, whatever. So maybe there, I don't know, maybe there's something to that. Maybe he's, you know, coming along a little bit slower. Maybe Jennings is looking at this being like, oh, snap, I'm going to be really important at work this year. And it's just
that was my first thought, Herms. I mean, take it away. I mean, I want to say, like, that was my first thought too, is that maybe Ayuk isn't ready to play. And he's like, shoot, I'm wide receiver one. I'm getting paid $7 million to be wide receiver one.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't think I don't think it's ridiculous to think that maybe there's something to that. Just, you know, for context also, everybody out there, Brandon Ayuk, currently the wide receiver 39. Not somebody that ADP is particularly rosy on for obvious reasons for the thing that I literally just said he's coming back from. But yeah, I don't know, man. This San Francisco offense could be pretty wonky if they don't figure some of these things out. The only piece of it that I think I'm really locked in on for sure is George Kittle. I mean, yeah, that is the one thing. I don't understand why he is being drafted as sort of low as he is. I mean, what are we looking at? Pick 405, the tight end three, dude. Like,
the tight end three is right. Tight end three is right for me, but 405 too low. Is that what we're getting at, Herms?
Oh, yeah. No, I would take him in the third. I wouldn't mind doing that. I don't think waiting till the fourth is not something you're going to have to do for George Kittle at all. He's awesome. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely think that this is a kind of a larger conversation to expand here to the whole 49ers is, as somebody who spends time doing projections, like, I have a really tough time figuring out how the hell the 49ers get it done. I think they're going to be good. Shanahan's good. I think the offense is going to be good. But, like, just trying to, for me to piece together, like, part of me is leaning, like, you know, this is a run-heavy team that runs the ball well. It seems to me as if they're going to probably have to lean into the pass a little bit more. So let's just say accept that. So, like, that how much do they run versus how much they pass is something I've been struggling with just in terms of how does this offense operate. And then what if CMC is healthy? So don't even get me started on that. You know, like, and then let's just say they do pass more. How many games are we getting out of Ayuk? What does that target share look like? Like, just, you know, I haven't been a big fan of Pearsall at all, but, like, doesn't mean he's not getting legitimate looks. We're already talking about Jennings. If CMC is healthy, there's a large, you know, piece there. Kittle, while, you know, the target share hasn't always been the largest, they might actually need him to in the pass game more than they have in the past. Like, he's a great blocker, and it's always kind of been his, like, you know, people they talk about is he doesn't run as many routes or whatever. I mean, I don't care because it's George freaking Kittle. He's just one of those players that it doesn't matter. So it's just having to assign, you know, kind of like a target shares, figuring out where the ball is going to go on a, you know, not only week to week, but just on a season basis. I have really struggled with trying to nail down the 49ers offense to where, you know, I feel fairly confident going into the season, and I hope we do get some answers, you know, before the season starts, because definitely 49ers being a top three team in which I have the lowest confidence in my projections going in.
That's pretty interesting to hear. Maybe we could have another episode about that, you know, some of your trust in the confidence in some of these teams or not. That could be fun. That could be a fun one.
Stash that one away.
Yeah, there you go. Listeners, be on the lookout. But before we get out of here, I did say up top that I just wanted to get a player take out there. I just want to get it on wax because I feel confident in it, and it's just something that I feel like sharing. This is my platform, so I'm going to do what I want. I shared this in the Friday newsletter that I send out to everybody in the FTN mailing list. Draft Tony Pollard this year. That's my big thing. I kept looking at ADP and all this information. RB26 going in the seventh round for a guy that has hit 1,000 yards each of the last three seasons, particularly the last two. He's carried the ball over 250 times. He catches passes. I don't actually care how bad the Titans offense might be. I think that is where people are getting really hung up. I think that is dramatically affecting his ADP price tag, but he's good. He's going to get a ton of looks. Now, he doesn't have the backfield to himself entirely. There is another player there that we will be talking about in our next episode coming up later this week. Oh, teaser. But yeah, I don't know, man. I think Tony Pollard is just disrespected. So I wanted to let everybody know, keep him in mind. Get him on your teams. Keep him on your draft board.
I'm not going to add to it. I just, you know, I think people always bag on analysts for not being transparent. It's part of the reason we're putting our takes out here. They're live. They're recorded. They're in the annals of history, as they say. So they're here. They're out there for us. And I think that's important for when you have a take and you feel strongly about it, get it out there. Doesn't get erased. Doesn't get deleted. Always respect the terms.
1,000%. And hey, if you like some of our takes that are going to be permanently around for the rest of time, then tune in to the next episode of the Crossing Routes podcast dropping later this week. My name is Herms. His name is Tyler O. And we will catch you all next time. Think about it before we go, just to say goodbye. And staying up and sleeping late.